Welcome to episode 43 of the Band of Gamers podcast. My name is Greylock3491, and this week I'm joined by Osiris Prime.
Hello, everybody. It's good to be back.
And Zeus Adamus.
Hey.
And unfortunately, our good friend DB cannot be here today because he is traveling. So we are going to hold down the fort without him. And we're going to roll right into what we've been playing. And I'm going to go ahead and kick it off by saying, rinse and repeat. I snuck into the Division a couple times this week. Had some great help from friends like Jetty, Bullet, Bobo. Trying to think of who else. Spiral. And just want to shout out to those guys. Thank you for your help me. And, of course, I had my regular Destiny night on Sunday night. Did some, went back to the prison. Did some Prison of Elders and got some good Year 1 loot. I don't know what I'm going to do with Year 1 loot, but hey, I got some Year 1 loot. But anyways, that's what I've been playing. Zeus, what have you been playing?
It's kind of funny. I've been playing a lot of the same thing on different platforms. So I was playing Grid 2 on the PC last week. And again, it's kind of same complaints. I just hate how it kind of handcuffs you into these like mini leagues, mini seasons with only like 3 or 4 events available, and forces you to race those events, which are on limited tracks, like 2 or 3 tracks. Some of them are just reverse mirrors of another track, and that's what you have to play on, until you complete that series and then gain access to the next one. But still, I like the racing model in the cars. Then I started playing Borderlands on the PC, revisiting that, where I'm playing a soldier in that campaign. And I love the game. Unfortunately, I get a little too OCD about the metagame of inventory management and constantly swapping out your guns. So then I went over and started playing Borderlands on the PS3, where I hadn't restarted my campaign since I had wiped and slicked my PS3 hard drive at the tail end of last year. When I upgraded the hard drive and started a campaign there playing Brick, the tank. I forget what his class is actually called, but I started playing that, which was interesting. I never really spent that much time with that character because I've historically always played Mordecai and the soldier. But had a blast playing that. Actually, I hate to admit, but it actually plays better with my PS3 controller. So I may try the Xbox 360 controller on the PC. I was playing last week on the PC with the Belkin N52TE gamepad, which is kind of one of those one-handed gamepads. Got it configured pretty decent, but I never got comfortable, as comfortable as I am with the PS3 controller. And then I kind of rounded things up by playing Grid 2. The original Grid on the PC, because I kind of got jammed for time. I actually had wanted to play Shift 2 Unleashed on the PS3, and I had to load everything, and that just took a really long amount of time. But I should mention the way that I got around to playing Grid on the PC, which is kind of a go-to game, was because I bought a bunch of games on Origin a couple months ago when I logged back in and re-enabled my account. And so frustrating because the stinking game activation process still goes, it's still on the front end of the game, is set to go through the Origin servers to activate Need for Speed Pro Street. But the servers have been retired. So the game doesn't activate via the Origin controller. So I had to submit a ticket to Origin, the Origin help desk. And I think I'm still waiting to hear back from them. I don't think they've responded. So that's why I've been playing. How about you, Prime?
I just want to comment. Good old Digital Games there. So hopefully that'll be rectified for you. I've been playing other than my normal, which couple games that I've been playing lately, or last few months, if you've been listening to the podcast. I jumped in a few other games. Minecraft, I jumped back into Minecraft with my son and just solo, just playing that. I hadn't played that for a long time, actually, so it was kind of nice getting back into that. They had a bunch of updates a few weeks ago, I think it was. I think that's the first major update in a while. So I was going through that, and then I was playing Batman Beyond Gotham, which is, I believe is, excuse me, Lego Batman Beyond Gotham, which I believe is the third one. That one I've just been playing solo. I've just been trying to unlock some characters so I can have my son jump in there and we can kind of fool around in that. And then actually last night, I was playing Battlefield 4 with a couple of guys from the CAG site, casual.gamers.com site, World Voyager and Buckfan. They actually had a quadruple experience points weekend this past weekend. I think that was the first time they've ever done that. So that was fun. I hadn't played that in like a really long time. I can't even remember the last time I played it. Sometime last year, probably, maybe the beginning of the year. So we were, I got on there probably about 8:45 Central Time, and I probably played with them for about an hour and a half or so. So that was cool. I think they had been playing for almost an hour before I had got on, but it was fun. It was kind of, I had to relearn their controls and everything because I've been playing nothing but Call of Duty basically, lately. So it was kind of fun jumping back into Battlefield. I always did like Battlefield because of the vehicles and stuff, so that was nice. Even though the first couple of matches we played were just like kind of corridor maps where they didn't have any vehicles, unfortunately. But then we got into the more open maps, so that was cool. And then other than that, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, I saw World Warrior send out that quadruple XP weekend, and I was so tempted to join, but it was just later than I can stay online. So I don't think I've ever played. I bought Battlefield 4 on sale. I have every Battlefield game ever made, I think, but I've really never played any multiplayer. So sorry I couldn't join you guys. But and of course DB's not here, so we're gonna roll right into our first break and talk about this week's community news. And I'm happy to announce that I have been working, spent several hours working with Solar Racer X to launch a brand new website, part of the Gaming World Forums network, called CasualAdultRacers.com. So now they have their very own website, they have their very own forum, and these are the guys who are racing every week on the weekend and produce that the top five video every week, and I just watched it to tell you what my top five was. So if you want to see the if you want to see this week's top five, just go to casualadultracers.com and you'll see it listed there in all the recent posts and click on it. And my favorite was number two. I thought there was some really good driving. I mean, my least favorite was number five because it was titled "The Slowest Drag Race Ever," and it was really long and slow. So that was my least favorite. But my favorite was number two, some really cool racing there. And I encourage you all to check it out, casualadultracers.com. And the other thing I want to announce is I've actually started a new website. It's like in its infancy, so don't expect a lot when you go there. But just started it this Sunday. I've been reading a lot of sci-fi books, and I've been wanting to talk about them. And I figured, well, I'll just start my own website. So I created my own website, sciencefictionreviews.net, and then I'll redirect you over to scifireviews.net, which is shorter. But and I just started reviewing. I'm going to review the books as I'm reading them. So I got two reviews up there. I'm a technician. I'm not a writer, so don't be too critical on the writing. And I'm hoping to have more announcements about that in the future. But in the meantime, when you listen to this, I'll have a few reviews up there, and you can check out, see what I've been reading. And if anybody else wants to contribute reviews, if you're a sci-fi fan like me, just hit me up, send me a message. And that's it for this week's community news. All right, let's go ahead and move into segment two, where we talk about the news of the week. And Zeus, you're up. What news you want to talk about?
Okay, so first off, I'll talk about an article that I saw over on GameInsider.com. Homefront, the Revolution Merits Program announced with new Hearts and Minds 101 trailer. So there's a merit system, which I don't really know how it's going to be reflected in-game, but right now you can go to homefrontgame.com. That's homefront-game.com. And play around with, I guess, kind of a metagame or web game. On the website and start earning merit. And as you accumulate merit, that will unlock combat gear and link it to your account on Xbox Live, PSN, or Steam. And then those things should be available to you in the game when that launches on the 17th of May. And in addition to that, there's a new Hearts of Minds 101 trailer, which gives you some game impressions. Did either one of you guys get a chance to watch this trailer?
I didn't. I played the first game. I loved it, but the single player was kind of short. And the multiplayer was cool. It was sometimes hard to tell who was shooting at you, but it was fun. But the single player was kind of short. It was fun, but it wasn't that. I think it was the first major shooter that came out with a shorter single player, and it got really lambasted for that. So I haven't really paid attention to number two. And I'm assuming, Zeus, is this a direct sequel to the first one?
It is. I don't know what the story was in the first one, so I'm not sure if I can say that it's direct, but it is a sequel. A couple of interesting tidbits about this game. So it's coming out from Deep Silver, which is a subsidiary of a German-owned media company. I did not realize that, because when I was watching the trailer, it struck me that the game looks a lot like Infamous Second Son. And the gameplay feels a lot like Second Son, because you get kind of an open world map, and as you go about completing missions and rebelling against the KPA, you take over zones just like you do in Infamous Second Son. So, and so I was really intrigued by the graphics, and I went and did some digging and realized that initially the game was sold to Crytek. And they were messing around with it for a while. I think they were still planning on publishing it through THQ. THQ, of course, went defunct, I think, in 2014. May it rest in peace, one of my favorite publishers, and one of the good guys, I would say, in a world populated by EA and Activision. But the game was then sold to Deep Silver, so it is still being built in the CryEngine. Apparently, Crytek licensed it to them. So, the game looks hot, I mean, graphics-wise. I mean, Infamous Second Son. Whether you were a huge fan of the gameplay or not, was definitely an amazingly sharp-looking game, especially for a PS4 launch title. So this is one of those games that I'm kind of looking forward to, and I think we're going to talk about games that we're looking forward to tonight. Osiris, have you had any interest in Homefront?
I actually played the beta they had a few weeks ago, a month ago, whenever it was, and it was pretty rough when what I played of it. I only played like a couple matches, and I honestly. It was, I don't know. It was just the graphics. I mean, I know it's a beta and all, but I mean, the graphics are like really rough, like really, really rough. And just the gameplay, it just felt kind of clunky. So I don't know. I don't think I ever played the first one that I remember. I always get this game confused. The original game confused with another game. I think they made the home, not Homefront. What was it called? Frontlines, I think it was called. So I
Oh,
kind
I
of get
love
those confused.
Frontlines.
Yeah, I get those confused sometimes, but so I don't think I ever played the original one. But like I said, I played the beta, and it didn't catch me. Like, this is one of the times that I think we kind of, or you guys might have talked about this about betas, or it definitely, put a sour taste in my mouth. So I don't know. Well, I guess I'll probably have to see what happens once the actual game comes out.
I gotta chime in and say, I loved me some Frontlines. That was great. If you guys ever find the original Homefront on sale real cheap, like $5 or something, it's definitely worth playing. I enjoyed it. It was unique, with the KPA and everything. It was very unique, and I thought a well done first person shooter.
Yeah, we had a short-lived run playing Frontlines multiplayer, didn't we? Did we play that on PS3, or was that on 360?
That was, I think, on 360. We were playing some Mag on PS3 for a while. That was fun too. But Frontlines, we get some videos up on the casualadultgamers.com or Casual Adult Gamers at, on YouTube, and I just I was a late adopter of that game, but man, we had fun. The helicopters were fun to fly, as opposed to sometimes in Battlefield they're frustrating. Yeah, we had some great times. Got some great videos up there.
Yep, that's awesome. So, let's talk one of my favorite topics. PlayStation leads hardware and software in March NPD report. So let's talk the end of Q1 hardware and software sales. So this was an article up on GameInformer.com. Normally March game sales are pretty weak. Usually it's a kind of a big wind up before a couple major releases before E3, but generally. Pubs and devs are in a kind of hold off mode, waiting to release, announce games, and then drop them right before, right after E3. So, what made this March different was the release of The Division, and the release of updates to Destiny. So that's what's really driving the game industry right now. People are really revisiting that game. I guess Killer Instinct also scored pretty well, but overall, numbers of gamers playing actively on Xbox Live were up significantly. And like I said, gamers flocked to The Division. Seems like they flocked more so to the PS4 than the Xbox One. Unfortunately, I didn't really keep an eye on game sales in January and February, so I'm not sure how those months went. The Division, I think, was the first really big release, in my mind, for 2016, multi-platform.
You know, I was kind of surprised that this was news because I just assumed PS4 was winning every month. But as long as Microsoft is beating the sales of the 360, I'm assuming Microsoft's doing pretty good, you know? And these are, I think these are global. No, NPD is North America, right?
I think the numbers are reflective of global sales, I believe.
Yeah, I think if Microsoft is beating the 360, which was phenomenal in sales, then they're healthy. And so as an Xbox gamer, I'm not going to worry about it, but kudos to Sony. They're doing some great stuff.
Yeah, hardware-wise, PS3 and 360 numbers, hardware sales have trickled to basically zero. Amazingly, portable hardware had a high volume of sales. I assume that has to be the 3DS, not the PS Vita. But game-wise, and when you look at these numbers from NPD, a little trick of the industry that not everybody knows is when NPD lists the numbers, so they list the rank, the game title, and then it lists the consoles that the numbers are aggregated from, in parentheses next to the game title, from left to right, they're listed in order of the volume of sales per console or platform from left to right. So, for instance, when they list Tom Clancy's The Division, and then in parentheses they say PS4, Xbox One, and PC, PS4 had the most sales, then Xbox One, then PC. So, rounding out the list of the top 10, you had Tom Clancy's The Division at number 1, Far Cry Primal at number 2, which really surprises me, I guess, because that game was so unique in kind of its pitch. It really saw solid uptake, although I'm just not a fan of the Far Cry series, you know, where that franchise's DNA branches from and separates to Far Cry and Crysis. I'm a Crysis guy, not a Far Cry guy. Legend of Zelda was number 3, a Wii U game, so the Wii U clearly showing some signs that it has some legs left for its first-party games, which you can only buy on that platform. So it's, I guess, in my mind, it's kind of a cheat because, of course, Legend of Zelda sales would be high because everybody who has a Wii U buys one, but it's also because that's, you know, one of the few games of note available for that system. Grand Theft Auto 5 was 4th, again with the PS4 leading. UFC 2 at 5, PS4 leading. MLB 16, The Show, only saw significant numbers across PS4 and PS3, of all things. Pokken Tournament on the Wii U was 7th. NBA 2K16 was 8th, again with PS4, the highest platform sold on. Here's the one outlier. Call of Duty Black Ops 3 sold most vigorously on the Xbox One, followed by the PS4, then by the 360 and PS3, and then PC. So I guess showing that PC fans either bought Call of Duty Black Ops 3 when it first launched on the PC, or else just don't like playing Call of Duty on the PC. Despite the fact that I'm sure it's had occasional sales on Steam. And then at number 10 was Minecraft, which maybe a little thumb in the eye, despite the fact that Microsoft now owns the studio that does Minecraft and the IP, the PS4 still sold more units. More units were sold of Minecraft for the PS4 than the Xbox One. So anything interesting about those rankings that you guys see?
It could just kind of make sense that... Oh.
Go ahead, Prime.
Oh, I was just going to say, it kind of makes sense, I guess, if PS4 is leading the majority of them, just because, you know, obviously they have the console lead out there. So obviously there's more people that are going to buy it on that system. I guess, except for the Call of Duty one, I guess, kind of an anomaly, I suppose. And then as far as, like, the Minecraft one, you know, it just came out, you know, it kind of came out later on the Sony platforms, so Everybody's jumping on that. It's kind of interesting the 360 is still on there. So, I don't know. It's just kind of weird. Yeah,
Yeah, I
no
agree.
PC.
I mean, Minecraft came out last on the PS4, I'm pretty sure, except for Windows Phone. I don't even know if Windows Phone has it yet. But yeah, so I'm not surprised about that. I mean, it's been sold on PC and Xbox for so long now. I can see. And I'm not so surprised on Call of Duty either, because Call of Duty has been a big was a huge phenomenal success on the 360. So I can see there's still being a lot of those 360 players now getting Xbox One. What were you going to say? I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to ask, so there's a lot, there's an increasing trend of these kind of online multiplayer arena-based shooters, team play shooters. What do you guys think about the fact that games like The Division and Destiny are seeing a huge uptake and are starting this trend in the industry of more games like that coming out? Because we're going to talk most anticipated games of Q2 here tonight, and many games are in that kind of subgenre.
Yeah, it's probably just, I mean, obviously those, Destiny and The Division have been, great successes. So we're probably just going to see that more of that type of those type of games. I don't know, it kind of, even though I haven't played The Division, but it seems like at least they kind of maybe it was more equal with their single player and, their kind of just online component. So I guess it's a little bit different than Destiny, but kind of in that same vein. But yeah, we'll probably just, start seeing a whole tidal wave of those type of games probably coming through. Then you got, like the Battleborns and I forgot the other one that's kind of like that. It's gonna
Overwatch.
be, yeah, Overwatch that'll be coming out, and I'm sure there'll be more down the line that we'll probably hear at E3. So I don't know, Gray, what do you think?
I think both Destiny and The Division do something special with the drop-in, drop-out co-op, and I'm trying to compare it to previous games that had great drop-in, drop-out co-op, right? And I think what they've done is, not only are you on a server with other people while you're trying to do your mission, but your friends can drop in and drop out. So you're never lonely, I guess. So let's say you were playing, let's take an old game that had great single player drop in, drop out co-op. And I think the ones that come to mind is Gears of War. I don't know why, but I think Gears of War had drop in, drop out co-op. And the difference is that even if you're not playing with anybody, you still run into other not NPCs, but other gamers in the world. Now, in the case of Destiny, it's anywhere in the world, really. You could have a public event, right? With the Division, you only see other players when you're in a safe house or you're in the dock zone. So when you're not in the safe house or dock zone, you don't see other players. But whenever you go to an area, there's an opportunity to matchmake. So it's a little different than Destiny, but I think that you're online, you see other people like running around, and then your friends can join you. And the Division does something really cool where it shows you a map of every friend you have, where they are if they're playing. So you get the entire map of Manhattan, and you can see where your friends are. So, and that's I was checking out people to see what level they were, because if you're the one thing the Division doesn't do well is if you're very drastically different levels, they don't equalize that very well. But yeah, no, it's a lot. It brings a lot to that. What used to be a very, and if you think like Halo 5, you're playing single player in Halo 5, it kind of feels like that. A very solo experience, and it expands it. Can't really do that with Halo 5 because it's a single player story, very linear, trying to get from point A to point B. But Destiny and the Division, they allow you to do things in a kind of a different order, So those are my thoughts. What do you think, Zeus?
Well, I wanted to ask you specifically, Gray. It seems like when you talk to, pick any random gamer in the game sphere, and it feels like if you talk to them about Destiny, the feedback you will get is a general feeling that it's a failure. That, we've talked about how it has great shooter mechanics, but it fails to engage and hook and keep you persistently in the game. But, does it feel like with this news, does it feel like maybe it's working? And I know it's not listed in the top 10, but it's what I think they say at Xbox Live showed an 89% increase in online play across The Division and Destiny. Do you think that it's working as a cyclical win, meaning this thing of, they throw something out, people jump on it and play it intensely for a little while, and then they start to fade off, but the win comes because then Bungie turns around and hits you with another update that then engages you for another month or 2 months. Does that kind of a sprint and drift effect wind up qualifying Destiny as a success?
Well, and we've talked about this both in the forums before and other places. You know, I think Destiny is a failure, just like some of the most popular games have been failures. Destiny did not fulfill its potential. Okay, the hype, the what everybody perceived it should be. I even had a friend say, "The Division is what Destiny should have been." I'm like, there ain't nothing wrong with Destiny. It's perfect. All right. Granted, we could have used some more cutscenes. We could have used some more kind of drawn into the story a little bit more. But, man, it's fun. It is a fun game. And I think most people who have played Destiny have played it more than they've played other games in the same time period. So it may be a failure as far as the hopes and dreams, but I don't think it was a commercial failure, and I don't think it was a technical failure either. I mean, it is one of the most rock-solid games ever made. I mean, its launch, I played launch day. Now, Zeus, you and I, we played some Halo co-op on the launch week, right? And there were some issues there. I know personally I got stuck. That was streaming. I got stuck in one of the maps. Destiny had, I played launch day, and it played beautiful. I mean, no major hiccups. So, no, I don't think Destiny was a failure. I think it was a resounding success, except for the fact that it didn't live up to the hype machine, which I think they couldn't. You know, they oversold it. And, you know, Bungie's known for doing that. They offer you the universe, and then they only can deliver you, like, a neighborhood next door, you know? So that's my opinion. I think Destiny is still, I have friends who both new and old to the game who still love playing it every week. And, but The Division gives you something new and different. It's totally different, right? The Division is very dense. Like, you are walking down blocks and neighborhoods with stuff all over the place. It's a very dense, versus Destiny, the landscape's kind of sparse. So, it's a different game, more complicated, definitely more RPG, but I think they're both successes. I don't think people will play The Division as long as they play Destiny, just because it is more complicated. But I think people are really enjoying it right now. So I don't know if I answered your question or not, but that's what I thought.
Yeah, I think I pretty much agree. You know, to me, Destiny also had a huge advantage in when it dropped, that there just wasn't anything else like it out there. Rainbow Six Siege, I guess, kind of followed it up like a year later or whatever. Destiny had a pretty wide open field to run in without a lot of other sprinters keeping up with it. The Division is just being hammered left and right by key releases, especially, like I said, as we roll into Q2, where you're going to see a lot of kind of also-rans launching that have a much brighter color palette, which I think is going to appeal to people for that initial hook, and slightly more adrenaline-based gameplay in a lot of these games like Battleborn and Overwatch. And one other game that I'll talk slightly about in the Q2 release segment. So last news story, Halo 5 getting campaign balancing in the single player and co-op modes. Most of this is centered around increasing difficulty in single player and reducing difficulty in co-op, which sounds a little counterintuitive, but I guess it's just because of how the game is balanced currently. A lot of the changes that are going to be going on, and these are going to culminate in the Memories of Reach update, which drops next month. A lot of these are going to be balancing against the Warden, which I think I will not mind at all, because that dude is not pleasant when he is encountered. But a lot of what they're going to do is they're going to take three of the Warden's attacks and back them off slightly, actually four, just in terms of making him easier to kill from the front. DBQ and I were playing co-op, I think last week, the week before last, and we wound up taking down the Warden, or at least getting him to disappear by me finding a really high sniper perch on a map and being able to fire down on him with a sniper rifle while remaining occluded, or being able to kind of wiggle down the outcrop and keep myself from being hit. But we still had a hard time with him. But they're going to reduce the accuracy of his face beams, reduce the homing on his gravity bomb, and decrease the range on his melee attack. And that third one is one that I think is huge. In the rest of the gameplay balances, in a lot of ways, they're going to increase the difficulty from some of the other enemy AI, including the Jackals and the Elites in particular, are also going to be boosted. Not sure how I feel about that, because I'm not certain I need more boosted difficulty from the Elites. But, Gray, I'm sure you're looking forward to the Halo 5 update that's going to drop next month. Any thoughts or feelings on the gameplay balancing? And I haven't gone through the whole list, because it is a lengthy list. There's about 20 or more gameplay balancing effects that are gonna drop.
You know, I only played it with the multiplayer with you and the other guys we played with, and I had a lot of fun. I do remember the warding being tough, but I remember, you know, not tougher than other bosses. Or maybe I'm wrong. It's been a while since I played. I'm looking forward to playing again. I'm also looking forward to the firefight mode coming out. So that's kind of where I feel it fit in on there. I guess why don't I go ahead and roll into my new story? And you know, I was talking about what are we looking forward to on E3 in the forums, and then I found this new story over at Forbes about you know, what's the possibility of having a PS4 and a half and a Microsoft 1.5 and a new Nintendo console all debuting this fall. And you know, I don't know how likely that is, but I think it would be awesome. Especially if they were all very even in horsepower, where it would really take their marketing people and their first-party studios to differentiate them. So I don't know, what do you think, Osiris, the possibility of having three new consoles, maybe two minor updates and then one brand-new console, all available for Christmas time, for holiday 2016?
Oh man, that'd be pretty crazy actually if we already had another, you know, console battle already. You know, we just had, you know, the PS4 and the Xbox One come out, and Wii U to a lesser extent, I guess. But yeah, I can't even imagine them, you know, releasing all these new consoles or updated consoles. I guess they're technically is what they are. More horsepower, supposedly, I guess, and you know. Or a slight bump in horsepower and stuff like that, but I don't know. I was reading through the article, you know, before we jumped on to the show, started the show, and I kind of agree with them about what they were talking about with the Microsoft side. That I think that's just kind of more talk on their side than anything. I still think that's probably like more future talk they're talking about as far as like being able to, you know, upgrade consoles or just having, you know, an upgraded console. Obviously with the PlayStation, it's, I guess, you know, there's been some leaks and rumors supposedly that, you know, obviously they're coming out with their PS4K, as people are calling it. And I guess people are speculating too that this bump in processing power will help with the PlayStation VR, you know, help handle that, all, you know, all that processing of, you know, those games and, you know, apps or whatever they're going to make for it. But I don't know. It'd be interesting, I guess, if they all, you know, all three of them. More than likely, it's probably just going to be like PlayStation and, you know, obviously Nintendo. But I guess there's no, you know, solid evidence that the NX or whatever they'll call it was, you know, is going to come out this year. More than likely, I mean, you kind of have to think it will be, just because Wii U is pretty much, you know, on its last leg, and there's really not too much coming out for it. So I don't know. That's pretty much my thought.
You know, we were talking about this over at CasualAdultGamers.com about what we're expecting from E3. We just started this discussion today, and we got, you know, 8 weeks to go, well, 7.5 weeks to go. But, you know, I think, and I'll go on record as saying I could be 100% wrong about this, but I believe that Microsoft says these things on purpose, and I think what they were trying to say, which I think it was articulated poorly, not on purpose, but I think it was received poorly, maybe that's a better way of saying it, was that with the Windows Unified devices or whatever they're calling it, that you know, Windows PCs have always been able to play old games and new games, right? So you buy a PC today, you can play a game that comes out in 2 years. But you can also play a game that was released 10 years ago. And I think what they're saying is when they come out with a new console, whether it be an Xbox 1.5, Xbox 2, whatever, that they want to say, unlike the previous consoles where when you bought a 360, you couldn't run your original Xbox games, not until they released backwards compatibility, that with the Xbox One, they want the Xbox 2 or 1.5 to be able to run all Xbox One games. Just like if you bought a new computer today, you wouldn't have to throw out your whole library of PC games, right? I think that's what they were trying to say. And I think the reason they were trying to say that was they're getting beat month after month, as we just discussed, by the PlayStation. And I believe the number one reason is, I think there's more than one reason, but I think the number one reason they can affect is the fact that the PlayStation 4 is perceived as more powerful because more games come out on it at 1080p than on the Xbox One. So I think they have to release a new console. I think this builds them up for doing that. I think they, a lot of new technology has come out, but I think it's also a godsend for them to for there to be leaks out about the PS4K. Because how horrible would it be for Xbox to launch a new Xbox One, maybe an Elite Xbox One or a Platinum Xbox One with more processing power, and have it not be as powerful as a PS4K? So I think it's good that leaks are coming out from both all camps. And I would just my recommendation to these manufacturers would be at least as good as your competition, processor, graphics, memory wise. Because if you're not as, whoever's doing the best, if everybody's the same price and one guy has much more power, everybody's going to flock to that one console. So, it's not like buying a vehicle. This is like the computer world. This is the, why would you buy an iPhone 5 as an iPhone 6? This is the tech world where the more power wins. But those are my thoughts. Any final words on that, Osiris?
Yeah, do you think it's wise for them, even if, for either Microsoft or Sony, not so much Nintendo, obviously, because they're, kind of struggling on their end. But do you think Microsoft and Sony, it's wise for them to release like an upgraded console like this and risk, fracturing the community? I mean, obviously, well, I'm hoping they have some kind of, contingency that, even if, there's a game made for this, 1.5 or PS4K. It'll still work on, the original, Xbox One and PS4, and hopefully, everything, all the games will work fine. Obviously, it might, be a little lower quality, or, maybe there's content missing or something like that. But I don't know. Do you just think it's wise for them to do this? And I know, I don't know if they're thinking like, cell phone, upgrading. Like, obviously, they don't want to do it every year, but every few years. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think when game companies release a game for a PC, they are trying to support a very wide range of resolutions, a very wide range of graphic capabilities. That's a lot of work, right? If Microsoft could say, well, you got the Xbox One, every game company knows what that can do. Now with the Xbox 1.5, we give you X amount of more hardware. So now all you have to do is create two versions, two settings in your game. The Xbox One setting and the Xbox 1.5 setting will tell you how to identify the hardware automatically. So, yeah, maybe the Xbox One will be a little less powerful than the PS4, but we know the Xbox 1.5 will be this much more powerful than the PS4. We know you're going to be able to get 1080p 60. You're going to be able to do all this extra lighting and shadowing and et cetera. So I think it'd be okay as long as you only had two versions at the versus on the PC side, everything has to be tweakable, right? And it's kind of a it's difficult to publish for the PC side, I would imagine, because of all the different hardware you're going to run on. So I think as long as they pitched it right, I think it could be doable. And I'm looking at the time, Prime. Let's roll right into your story now, if you don't mind.
Yeah, no problem. So this is kind of a follow-up to my when the last time I was on the story that I had talked about ARK Survival Evolved. They had a lawsuit from Trendy Entertainment. So basically, they were saying that one of the leads on ARK Survival Evolved, Jeremy Steglitz, I believe is how you say his name, he broke a non-compete clause from Trendy because he used to work there and he's. He supposedly jumped over to Ark before his time, his clause was up, which I think was a year, I believe. It doesn't say in this Polygon article, but from the last article, I think it was a year. And then that he was, you know, poaching people from Trendy to bring them over to Wildcard, which is the company that he co well, actually I don't know if he actually created it or co-created it, but he, you know, went to work for. His wife, and let me see, I gotta find her. I believe it is Stephanie, maybe Susan. I'm sorry, Susan Steglitz was talking with a fan on Twitter or going back and forth. You know, just. You know, the fan was asking about, you know, what was going on with the lawsuit, you know, basically because, you know, being worried about the game to see if it was going to, you know, keep continuing on. Supposedly it's supposed to release in June of this year because it's just in game previews for the PC and the Xbox One right now, and it's supposed to come to PS4 also eventually when the full release comes out, if it comes out. And she was saying that they actually did settle out of court, and they settled for $40 million. And evidently they were asking for 600 million, so I don't know. Obviously, that might have just been, you know, a number they threw out, and you know, maybe 40 million or something close to it was something what they actually wanted. But they settled out of court for $40 million, and that was pretty much it. From what they're saying on Twitter, there was a file on record in Gainesville, Florida, which this was taking place that you know it actually was settled, but I guess there's no. Details in that file or you know court document or whatever it was, so evidently they settled out of court and hopefully you know nothing happens with the game, you know it'll still continue on. They did just release on the Xbox One at least a new update, I think on the 7th, I believe April 7th, just adding you know more animals and gear and stuff like that. So I mean I guess it's you know the game's safe for now supposedly. Like I said, it's supposed to come out in June this month, so hopefully that'll you know, this is behind them, and they can just concentrate on the game and everything like that.
Are you still playing? I know you had some dinos killed and whatnot.
Yeah, I'm still playing. There's I'm Dinoless still right now. After that, I've just been trying to build up my base and trying to keep it fortified. So when I do have dinosaurs in there, nothing can get through. So yeah, I'm still playing it. I'm still having fun with it. Like I said, they're still releasing updates, so you know there's new stuff that comes by, you know, comes through. So I'm still having a good time with it.
Yeah, it's kind of
Cool.
interesting. It's kind of interesting that whoever that was would mention that. The reason I'm guessing that that court document had no data in it is because I think that's usually the norm. Usually there's a gag order, and people aren't allowed to say how much the settlement was for. The losing party or the settling party demands that there be no admission of guilt, and like I said, no disclosure of the amount. So they usually try and keep that stuff hush hush behind doors.
Well, I'm glad for one that it's keep going. I know Osiris, you enjoy it, and it looks really cool. So I'm glad they were able to settle out of court. It just the whole thing seems fishy to me. You know, I'm looking at the time, guys. So I'm going to kick us right into segment three, and I'm going to kick it right over to you, Zeus, to kind of kick this sec our final segment off.
Yeah, so I was just perusing, you know, while I was gathering up my news, and just kind of sporadically came across, you know, on every other page, it's so-and-so was releasing in May, so-and-so was releasing in June, and realized that there's just this kind of this quiet thunderstorm of games coming in, really beginning next month, and then continuing on through June, which is very atypical for the industry. Usually, there's maybe, you know, the first, you know, I guess the first major thing, kind of when the heyday of the PC kind of faded away, you know, all the games got packed into the holiday season. And then the first change I saw coming out of that was a return to, you know, a couple, you know, major titles being released in the spring, mainly targeting Spring Breakers and Memorial Day in the beginning of the summer. You know, you'd get some big RPGs like Neverwinter Nights and maybe a couple other quirky things. But, you know, next month alone, you know, next month in June alone, there's about eight big major titles dropping, including Uncharted 4. Again, weird that a game of that caliber would release at that time of the year, not in the holidays. But you also have Overwatch, Doom is being dropped by id, Battleborn, Homefront Revolutions, I think was the title we were talking about earlier, or Homefront Revolutions. Mirror's Edge Catalyst is on its way. I was a big fan of Mirror's Edge. And also the very elusive No Man's Sky. So this is a big non-holiday quarter, probably the biggest that I can remember in a long time. And I wanted to kind of talk through, first of all, what of those games that I listed, any others that you know of that are dropping, what are your primary targets for acquisition, and are the things that you expect to be playing over Memorial Day weekend and into the first month of summer?
As I look at that list, I definitely Uncharted 4 was unfortunately pushed back so it could get polished and fixed up. So that was probably a game that was due out last year. Of the others, I don't think any of them are, they're not Call of Duty, they're not Battlefield, they're not a huge series. Overwatch is new, Doom is returning after many years away. Battleborn to me is new. Homefront is a sequel to a great game that was critically panned 7-8 years ago. Mirage Edge is really a redo of the original game, or a reimagining of the original game, which was maybe not a sales success, but a success, beloved by the fans of it. And then No Man's Sky is this independent, beautiful game that, is exclusive PC and PS4 only. So, there's no Titanfall 2 here. There's no World of Warcraft. There's no, I'm not, the only big name is the one that we, not that any of these won't be big, but the one big name, the one series that's continuing is Uncharted 4. We know that was all bumped. And, as I look at everything that's coming, I don't get excited until the fall. We start talking about the Titanfall 2s or the Battlefield 5s or the Destiny 2s or those big franchises that I love. And so for me, I'm looking at No Man's Sky as being a, really a single-player experience, almost like a Minecraft experience, but in space with spaceships. Something I can play on the couch. My wife watches, what's that show with the wedding dress? And the other shows I just can't get interested in. So those are my thoughts. What do you think, Osiris?
I'm excited for No Man's Sky. Unfortunately, I don't have a PS4 or a PC that would probably run it. That's probably on the back burner. I'm just kind of hoping that they'll bring it out to Xbox One at some point. I don't know. I never really saw them say that, it was a definite no that it wasn't coming to Xbox at some point at least. So, I'm holding out hope for that. But then the other one, I'm really excited for Mirror's Edge Catalyst. I really loved the first one. And this one, from what I've seen of it, looks gorgeous, graphically wise. And this time there's, in the first one there was, a little bit of gunplay that you can do if you wanted to, or you could just, run away and get past people. But this one, there's no gunplay, so it's all just, basically running away. And I think there might be some melee combat, potentially, I think. But other than that, it just, looks gorgeous. And I don't think it's open world. It might be kind of open worldy, maybe, like a dash of open world in there, like just giant areas that you can play around in. So I'm definitely looking forward to that. Homefront, like I said earlier, I'd probably have to, check out reviews and stuff like that. And then Battleborn and Overwatch. Battleborn, once again, I played the beta on that a few months ago, actually. It was quite a while ago. And it played fine. There was nothing wrong with it. The graphics were fine. I wasn't really into the gameplay, just what you had to do in the game itself. And from what I'm hearing and seeing, Overwatch is kind of the same game style. And then Doom, I don't know, I'll probably check it out. Maybe, that's more of a discount game, maybe down the line. And Uncharted 4, once again, I don't have a PS4, so I unfortunately wouldn't be able to play that. And I've never played any of the other three, so. How about you, Zeus?
So I think there's a good chance that I'm actually going to go big in May and June. I feel like, so first of all, I feel like I'm interested in all of these games other than maybe Battleborn. This to me feels like the second holiday season of the year, if you wrap back around to the 2015 holiday season. All these, I just find all of these really interesting. I'm, mildly invested in Uncharted 4 just as far as it being kind of a flagship franchise on the PS4. I've played Uncharted 1. I put probably 8 hours into Uncharted 1, but didn't finish it. I'm interested in finally, maybe for the first time in my life, being really invested in a Doom game. I kind of bypassed Doom 1 and Doom 2. I have Doom 3 loaded on the PC, and I go back and play it, in small snippets. But you know, the interesting hook in Doom is it's supposed to be the multiplayer is really supposed to be overcharged this time around. I'm very interested in seeing Homefront now that I know that it's running on the Crytek engine. And from the trailer that I saw, I played Mirror's Edge through to completion, so I'm really interested in the sequel. And I think we've all been kind of tracking No Man's Sky. So I'm like I said, I'm really interested in all of these. What I find most interesting is that you know, the industry, and I don't know if this is just spillover from game delays from holiday season 2015. I think some of it is. And I thought most of those were going to land in March, and I think a lot of those were targeted for March or February or March, and were pushed back even further. So now you have this big pile arriving in the May June timeframe. You know, I mean, what I mean, anything other than game delays that you guys feel is driving this? Is this just a complete perfect storm coincidence, or do you guys anticipate that this may be a new trend? You know, kind of a la Christmas in July, but a bit earlier. That's going to start repeating itself in the gaming industry.
I think it's a good time to release some not non-established releases. So a great time to release an Overwatch and a Doom and a Battleborn, because you're not competing with a Battlefield 5, you know, a Call of Duty, whatever. And you know what I'm saying? I think it's a great time to release. And this is summer, so you got kids getting out of college, kids getting out of school. So I think it's a great time to for this, maybe I don't want to say second tier, but I'm going to say for the lesser known titles to try to compete in this this May June time frame. I think it's great.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of a perfect storm also, because like you said, obviously some of these were delayed, or a lot of these were delayed, and sometimes multiple times. And it, kind of the past few years, you know, kind of February, maybe March, a little bit into March, that you know we kind of have these other kind of big titles came out. Titanfall came out in the beginning of the year, I believe. I think it was in February or March, and some of these other titles. So, you know, I think it's good that they're releasing these. Obviously, there's a lot of hype for a lot of these games. Obviously, Uncharted 4, Mirror's Edge, even Homefront, and No Man's Sky just seems like they're always talking about it on some site or another. And then obviously the new ones like Battleborn and Overwatch, people are, or at least I see people talking about. So yeah, it should be a really good year, beginning middle of the year.
Very cool, very cool. And the last thing I'll mention, again, kind of a cheat, but I think there's another game in this list that I think comes out next month, at least for its initial release. And that is a game called Lawbreakers, which I actually had the opportunity to go last week to Boss Key Productions, which is Cliff Bleszinski's new studio that he founded in 2014. With one of the principal developers from the Battlefront franchise, and I had a chance to go down there to their studio in Raleigh, North Carolina, and spend a day with some hands-on time and going through some preview events, including kind of getting a brief on their development cycle and the team and the studio, and getting a chance to interview Cliff and Arjan Broussais, his partner in Boss Key. Just a amazing and eye-opening and probably once in a lifetime experience. But I can't talk about the game in detail. The embargo goes until this Friday at 9 a.m. But of what I saw, I'm finding that game very interesting. Again, a game that's kind of in the ilk that I mentioned of these arena-based first-person shooters. So that's another game that I'm looking at, hopefully laying my hands on next month. Gray, anything else before you want to take us out?
No, I'm just excited for next week's show because we're going to have to pump you for information about that game.
Right, right, right.
Well, Prime, you got anything else before we close it out?
I did have one kind of a question thought on kind of the Division Destiny talk that you had earlier. And we don't have to talk about it in detail now if we want to wait until next week. But that's that style of game, kind of the blend of single player, multiplayer, kind of open world kind of game style where you can just jump in and see people, or jump in with somebody and either just do like single player kind of co-op, or you jump into multiplayer and stuff like that. Do you think that could bleed into like established, series that are out there, and I'm just throwing out names like, say, like Halo 6 or Assassin's Creed. And, obviously they took a year off for that. And, do you think they can adapt that game style to an established series that's already out there?
I definitely think they could, but they would have to, I think they would have to leave the linear track. So, what Division and Destiny do is there's a huge map and you have missions you have to do from one side to the other. And that's not the way, as you know, Call of Duty or Battlefield single player works, right? Or even Halo single player works. So I think they could, but they would have to move to that. I think more of like a Borderlands style, or I think Borderlands did it. I think something like Skyrim could definitely do it, right? But it would have to be more of, I think with Halo, you're jumping from planet to planet to planet, so it's kind of hard to have to share a world with somebody when you're only there for one mission, But I definitely think they could, and it's a lot of fun even when you're playing alone to know there's a bunch of other people around, and occasionally joining a public event if you feel like it. But it gets rid of that lonely, like you're playing by yourself. You're online, you're connected, you can see other people on the map, and no, I think it's pretty cool. And will they? I guess that's the million-dollar question. It'll be fun to see what they do.
Zeus, any thoughts?
No, nope, nothing else I can think of.
Well, guys, I want to thank you again for another great podcast. And to you, the listeners, please feel free to chime in. Just send us an email over at podcast@bandofgamers.net or just comment on one of our posts over at the site. But for that, I'm looking at the time. We're already running late. So on behalf of Osiris Prime, Zeus Adamus, and myself, Greylock3491, I want to thank you for listening to another episode. And until next time, peace.